roommates like in college or like right after college. She went back to law school like 4 years ago. We're like 60, you know, so she passed the bar. Yeah. Found out this week. So she's so excited.
Oh, that's
great. Yeah.
Yeah. I almost went to law school.
The oldest living law school graduate, you know.
I was teaching for like, did you?
Actually, I think Leo probably was the oldest living school graduate.
The preparatory courses for the LSAT and took the LSAT, and then I watched my cousin doing research all the time. Is that what they do? I thought they were like in the LA Law or whatever it was.
Yeah, 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 that's right. Yeah.
All the cool stuff. Yeah.
All righty. Let's call this Conference Committee for on Senate. Senate file 2695-1 and House 3059-1. This is the conference committee, and I think what we might begin with is to have staff, if you'd be willing, to go through the side-by-side and help us understand the differences between our language.
Madam Chair and members, the differences in the language are in paragraph B. The Senate language exempts healthcare professionals and social service professionals from reporting a woman's use of consumption. Oh, sorry, that's the House. From reporting anything under paragraph A, which is controlled substances, including THC and alcohol. The House position on that is only the use and consumption of THC and alcohol. And in the Senate, a professional who is knows or has reason to believe that the woman is seeking or receiving prenatal care is included in the exemption. And in the House, it's only the professionals who are providing the woman with prenatal care. And under both bills, the definition of prenatal care is provided and is identical.
All righty. So the if I can crystallize for us what we'll be talking about today and try to resolve is how expansive we want to be in terms of what drugs are mandated for reporting under any circumstances, which would not change the current law. And so the question there is if we want to narrow that or if the House wants to expand it. And for our who's relieved from the mandatory reporting, we're talking now about the Senate expanding relief to those who are associated with the care that may not be the direct service professional, but those that are on the working team, and that is not fully addressed in the House's language. So I know we've had some. I'm not going to pretend. We've had some preliminary discussions about this, how to resolve it, and so why don't we just talk about the resolution?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really think that in the House there was some good consensus around THC as well as alcohol. I think when you get into the more expansive drugs, I think there's not good consensus on that issue. And I think that although our language may not reflect it exactly, I think the intent of the House really was to include the people that were providing the service or who were on the team of service providers, but not include people who didn't really have a relationship with that patient, if that's helpful.
It is. And I guess I should say as well then that the expansiveness of our language around all drugs came out of an understanding that the issue that we're trying to address with the legislation is to encourage women, no matter what chemicals or drugs they're using, to seek prenatal care, because the research shows us that if they don't come because of fear of the mandatory reporting or some other legal reprisal, they delay prenatal care. And our ability to intervene in that use to protect the fetus from development under unwholesome conditions goes away. So we didn't think that should only apply to alcohol and marijuana, that all of those drugs have serious implications for fetal development. And if we can create an environment in which we bring people in, and the data is demonstrating that if you do that, you can change that behavioral pattern if you create an environment that's safe. And that really, that distinction about that goal isn't with alcohol and pot only. It's for all substances. So if we reduce it to meet the house's language, we will have left that problem existing for a substantial number of reportable chemical substances. And we will create that environment in which people do not seek care because of their fear of the consequences, and that consequence is fetal development. So that sort of lays out the problem that we were trying to address, why we expanded it.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that this was really introduced, we were moving along with a similar language, so we got to a committee that really deals with a lot of concerns about various differentials between populations, and it was really there that it first was introduced to me that there may be certain populations that would really benefit if we included more drugs in it to engaging in good prenatal care.
Madam Chair, I think the wisdom in accepting a narrower focus for now is not to overreach and to see how that goes, and I think as this works, I think there could be comfort in the future as it makes sense.
Madam Chair.
Excuse me, that's Representative Abel, I don't want to cut you off. Senator Higgins?
Could somebody explain to me, in a clinic, who is a mandatory reporter? Is it everybody in a clinic? Because it seems that there's a difference in the language. The house with just the professional who's giving the actual care, but I'm curious about who else in a clinic would be a mandatory reporter, and I probably should know it.
Madam Chair, I think Council has a list of them.
Madam Chair, Senator, the list of mandatory reporters is in statute, and it includes much more than health care professionals, including other people who come in contact, police officers, clergy.
Sure.
It's expansive.
Sure.
So
who in a clinic?
The difference in the language is both positions are healthcare professionals and social service professionals.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that the House limits it only to professionals who are involved in the prenatal care. And so both limit the list of mandatory reporters to, in this case, the exception is for healthcare professionals and social service professionals. The House further limits it to those professionals that are involved in the prenatal care.
And, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Senator Higgins, I don't believe that it was the House's intent to get the lab tech. I think it was an attempt to get the folks that were actually providing the care or that had the relationship and not exempt the whole world of folks that are out there that may not have that relationship. Mm-hmm. For example, if someone as a parent takes another child to a pediatrician, they're not providing care to the pregnant woman, potentially. They're providing care to that child. And if that child says, mom who's pregnant is standing there, mommy uses drugs or whatever, if that doctor is not treating that mother, that doctor would still have to report. Whereas because that pediatrician is not treating the pregnant woman herself. And what we're saying is that if they have a relationship, the doctor-patient relationship, whether they're treating whether they're treating the foot or whatever, that that if there's a relationship, they could at least ask the woman, so are you seeking prenatal care? You know, are you getting help for your chemical dependency? If there's a relationship, they may not be doing that in that other setting. And we want them to get in the pool of people who are getting treatment.
Okay.
Okay. No,
that's fine. No, Madam Chair and members of the the House conference. I mean, I'm just curious. Is somebody who's like the clerk at the front desk, all those other folks, if they would ever come in contact or, you know, have even a casual encounter with somebody, are they mandatory reporters? Would they?
Madam Chair and Senator, I think I understand your question better now. The language here is a professional or professional's delegate, so that would be who you're talking about, who is engaged in the practice of healing arts. That's very broad. So
it's not the clerical staff. It would be
if that clerical staff is seen as a delegate of the professional, they could arguably be included, because engaged in the practice of healing arts, social services, hospital administration, psychology.
Yes, it does.
It's a broad definition.
Interesting.
And if I may, let me be clear that my interest in having this language here that I think we can accommodate to is to relieve the mandatory reporting only to those whose relationship is the term you used, is in place because of the pregnancy and because of because that's what we're trying to get at, is the prenatal care. So it's only those people that are in the business of caring for the mother or the pregnant woman. So if they're getting their toenails clipped, or if they're having diabetic care or something, those are not relieved from the mandatory reporting. Those persons are not. Only those that are in the direct care, that their care is, they may also be treating for diabetes too, but if they're engaged in the process of treating a person with the pregnancy, they are relieved from mandatory.
Madam Chair, I don't think that the Senate language does that. I think that the Senate language would have said anything. If they're getting toenails, whatever, mm-hmm. that those would be relieved. And the House, I think, in our discussions said that we could go that far as long as they're getting medical care. Because if you're going in to get a planter's wart off your foot and the doctor sees that you're pregnant and maybe you're on some chemical, the doctor can say to you, you know, you have a relationship. Doctor can say, are you getting prenatal care? Are you seeing a doctor? Have you seen someone for some chemical dependency issues? And so I don't think we necessarily had an issue with that. Maybe our language doesn't really reflect that, but we really want to make sure that it's folks that they have a relationship with. For example, if Representative Rood were to refer a patient to Representative Abler for chiropractic care, and he knows that there's that relationship, should Representative Abler then have to report if he already knows that she's seeing a doctor and they're working on those issues? Probably not.
Right. That's
so,
right.
So we understand that. Yep. We just want to make sure that it is actually someone who's actually providing care to the woman while she's pregnant and not some of these other folks that intersect that woman.
Yeah, that's right.
Throughout her life that may have an opportunity to get her some care,
right,
or to get her some help, and then them to be relieved of the reporting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we're clear about what we're trying to achieve.
Thank you for doing
that, because I was
a logic problem.
Lost.
And I think in our conversations we have a proposal, right?
Right.
Okay, so why don't we move that forward?
So, Madam Chair, before I do that, do we have to talk about the language as far as the inclusive or exclusivity?
Yes,
we already...
Well, we talked about, we have talked about what our goals were there,
yeah,
but we haven't talked about any action in terms of resolving the differences,
okay,
in the language.
Okay. So why don't you just tell her what the proposal is?
Okay, so the proposal is, Madam Chair, to amend on the House language on line 1.17, after prenatal care, right, or other health care services.
Four.
And again,
would you read the?
Sure.
Tell me where that
so
was.
So after 1.17, after prenatal care, remove the period and insert or other health care services. Period.
Okay.
And again, Madam Chair and members, I think that the goal is to just to to cover the people that are connected to this individual, because we are trying to build that trust in the relationship. And I think Representative Hillstrom gave a good example. The concern is if the woman who is not seeking prenatal care and maybe has intersects
that's
with
right.
a sector out there that could maybe get her into that pool. So that is the goal of that language. I think so. I would make that motion to move that amendment.
To amend the language.
Do I need to second that?
We'll assume that seconded. Okay. Is there any further discussion on the motion to amend the House language? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Second.
And yes, Madam Chair and members, I would also move the House language in.
Well, is that what? Yeah.
I guess that's what we could do.
Yeah. As amended, yeah.
Okay.
That's my motion then, to move the House language as amended.
It's been moved to accept then as our conference position that we would accept the House language as amended. Any questions or further discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes. So we will. Now, do we make another motion to. Or are we finished? Is there another motion? Just to adjourn? All right. Well, thank you for the hard work that we've done together.
Thank
and really,
you.
A lot of it was done ahead of between. Yeah. And we're very thankful for that. So thanks for coming.
Thank you.
We're adjourned.
I just think the words were holding us up. Okay.